This is William Tincup, and you're listening to the Recruiting Daily Podcast. We're broadcasting from Insights, the Ceridian / Dayforce Insights at the Wynn, and a fantastic conference and a lot of energy. And we're going to be talking with Catherine from HR Architect. So, Catherine, would you do us a favor and introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Catherine. I am the director of the Ceridian practice at HR Architect. So HR Architect has been in business for, I think we're about to celebrate our 27th anniversary.
Right.
But we just became partners with Ceridian about 2 years ago. So we're starting off kind of with a bang, I have to say. We love what we do, and I think Ceridian, Dayforce understands that. So we've had lots of business, lots of customers. I have a great team, fabulous team. So that's us.
In case they're listening, is what you're saying.
Even if they're not, they know they're awesome. I remind them all the time. They're fabulous. I'm very lucky.
Well, those that aren't familiar with HR Architect, at least the history, y'all have been great at vendor selection, helping people, really, executives really understand kind of the landscape and what's going on.
Yep.
Obviously, you do implementations and transformation, change management, et cetera. I love the relationship that you have with Dayforce. I'm glad that you're the one that's running the Dayforce practice. How did that come to be? Tell us how we got here.
So HR Architect has been very successful with other platforms. They actually have worked with Dayforce for a long time, but this was about the right time for them to step in as a formal partner. When they did so, they knew they needed to build out a solid practice, so they brought me on. I decided to hire people who believe, as I do, that we have the ability to make a difference in how customers love or appreciate Dayforce, and that's really what we try to do.
I love that. So, what are the common questions right now about Dayforce? What are you getting from customers? What's kind of typical when you start a process with a new customer, a Dayforce customer?
You know, customers really want to be powerful. They want to feel enabled. They're moving with a lot of pieces, and a lot of times, especially since COVID, that population they were working with before has changed a lot. So they're trying to wrap their arms around as much as possible with very smart work instead of more work.
Right.
So something we're seeing is that they want to bring in all of their solution into one place. It used to be that they would do best of class. Now that Ceridian's really stepped up
there's a wonderful ecosystem around them.
They've innovated so much that now customers are seeing this is a place where I can do everything. And they're looking to build everything in one place. They can manage everything from one place.
Oh, I like that because the data is integrated, makes it easier for everybody, but also the ecosystem that's around them, they don't want to compete.
Mm-mm.
They don't have no interest in competing with a recruiting module. They don't want to compete with a recruiting module. They want to fill in some of the gaps that are there that customers need.
And they understand that when it's integrated, you know, you make a decision over here on the left.
Right.
It flows all the way through. It cuts down a lot of the time, the maintenance that you have to do to keep all those systems talking together. Dayforce has really stepped up and said, we can help you do it in one place where you're the center and you're controlling things instead of trying to, you know, lead a symphony of products together.
Yeah, it's what I used to tell people about analytics. I'm like, every tool or application has great analytics inside of the four walls of its tool. The problem is getting analytics across the entire process.
Yes.
That's harder.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question about kind of change management and the way that people come to Dayforce through y'all. And are they displacing? Because I've said this for years and people hate it, but I think that Microsoft is the largest HR tech company in the world because a lot of it is displacing Excel,
yes,
Word,
mm-hmm,
etc. And people hate that, but what are we displacing? When you all come into something, is it displacing kind of a dysfunctional use of technology, or is it homegrown solutions? Is it other vendors?
Yeah, it really depends. And we have all sorts of customers that come for different reasons. Maybe they have grown a lot. We've seen a lot of customers actually who do that. They're growing so fast that what maybe worked for them before doesn't work now. We have a lot of customers who know they're about to grow and they want something they can scale. And they understand that. They're looking for strategy. They're looking for a place where they can plant their feet and grow for the next, 10, 20 years. And they're looking for a system that at least, if it doesn't have the pieces in place right now, it's going in that direction.
Right.
Dayforce has been looking to innovate so many of those things for so many years. If you've been here at Insights for years, you've seen their vision, and we're starting to see those really exciting pieces come to be, like you know, the on-demand pay or the predictive analytics, those things that we've been hoping for are here. And companies are seeing that and they want to build right here. They're saying, I want to be a part of this. This is why I'm here. We also have a lot of homegrown solutions that we see. And somebody who has experienced maybe a better way of doing things enters these organizations and says, we can do it better and faster. And I know where we can go. We get a lot of business that way.
Right, right. It's sometimes it's through acquisitions too.
Yes.
Where somebody acquires somebody and it's like, yeah, this, we have better technology.
Yeah.
It's already implemented. It's just done better. You should probably, we should even know that we're acquired. We should probably migrate to this technology.
Right. Right. And our company doesn't just do the implementation or working on the software. You had mentioned change management. Mm-hmm. So we actually help with vendor selection all the way from the beginning to make sure that you've got a solution that fits for you and then walk you through the whole thing, whether we're doing the implementation or we're helping Ceridian do it.
Right.
And then that post go live. I mean, the idea is that we want you to feel confident in your solution, that you want to feel empowered to use it, and that it's yours at the end and going forward forever.
So I got to ask you a couple of questions. One is, I'm going to hand you a magic wand. It's actually a Bic pen. It's not a magic wand, people. I don't have magic wands.
They didn't know. Sorry. You didn't have to tell them.
If you could fix one thing in vendor selection, what would you fix?
I think what I would fix... Oh, I hope somebody gets
RFP?
Upset.
Is it the RFP?
No, actually. So I have to say that I've been on the other side. The reason I think that I can do what I do so well is because I've been on the customer side. So what I would change is I would have more thoughts, more communication between the people who are making the decision and the people who are going to use the solution.
100%.
Sometimes we see that, but a lot of times we don't, and it comes down for different reasons.
Yep.
The people who control the budget aren't always the people who know how it's going to roll out.
Right.
For the companies that do, we see great. We see symphony in their company across how they're going to adopt the solution. That would be what I'd like to change.
It's their input, not just their input, but understanding how they'll use the technology.
Right.
I love that. What about implementation? If we now that we're out of vendor selection, we get into implementation, again, magic wand. What would you change about implementations?
I would ask that people have somebody who's dedicated. So many times companies think, I can do this on top of my job. I'll do my day job of running payroll, running the HR department, and I'll implement on the side, but I may or may not know Dayforce.
Right.
The very best situation is when they have somebody like us or somebody who they've dedicated to the implementation, preferably that has the information of where they're coming from and where they're going to go to, that this is their sole job, to get it right, to see it all the way through. They're not trying to combine all the departments and get, you know, little bits and pieces. It's one person who says, I know the big picture, I'm going to drive us there.
Now, I know that you've done the job because, I mean, I believed you before. However, there's so many companies that it's like, Sally, tag, you're it. Or Jim, tag, you're it.
Yep.
And it's like, they have another job.
Yeah.
And that other job is also very important. And all of a sudden, now you're asking them to do something that we've never done.
Right.
They don't know, they're not even read into why we're doing it. It's just like, they've got to manage a project?
Right.
Good luck.
Right.
Hope that works.
Right. And you can burn people out very quickly. I mean, usually you put your star players on that, but they also have to be your star players with your organization. If you have these stars all the way around, you're going to burn them out.
That's
so
right.
Let them do one thing really well and make sure that you're giving whatever it is, hopefully an implementation, the time and the space that it deserves, because that will pay you back in the end. If you try to multitask and put people on several things at one time, you'll feel it when you get to go live.
So do you love the phrase go live or do you hate it? And I'll tell you my take first so you can kind of feed off.
Yeah, go ahead.
I despise it.
Why
because
is that?
There's no such thing. You're always live. I mean, yeah, there's a public time in which we'll all use the technology group.
Right.
But it's never done. And I think we've artificially said historically, like, okay, this is the moment. And then it's almost like we're out.
Yes. So go live is very much, in my opinion, a project management term that has been spread across the whole thing. What we like to do is get people engaged very, very early. I tell my customers, we want you to be so comfortable with the system before go live. I did air quotes there. Before go live, that go live doesn't feel like a momentous day as much as just the next thing that the next thing that you're doing. It's not a big deal for you to suddenly be given the keys to kingdom because you've already been running around in the castle all this time.
That's right.
So I agree with you. Yeah. If you're using it as project management, yeah, I guess we have to draw a line in the sand. If we're talking about what users can do, I think they should know Dayforce very well before go live, and go live should be a Tuesday, as you say.
100%. Just don't even think about it. We also have new users that are going to come in a week after go live that we have to bring them up to speed, user adoption-wise, and get them to fall in love with the software, which, again, for a lot of folks, user adoption isn't the goal. It's user satisfaction.
Right.
It's for them to actually fall in love with the software.
Yes.
Using it is, yes, great, you use it, but do you love it?
Right. Right. So any system should be naturally inclined to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that you run your implementation and how you're doing your training, it starts way earlier than 100%. When you're bringing those people in. Your people who are working with it have to be those change champions.
Yep.
They have to love the system. They have to have been convinced a long time ago that what you're doing is what they chose to do.
100%.
So that when they get there, the easy way to show all of those other people, this isn't just something next that we're doing. It's something that's going to improve your life, which they get excited about.
I think that's the key. We don't think of it as just like it's going to solve a problem with work. It's like, this is going to actually make your life better.
You're going to love it.
You're going to love it.
Yeah.
24. We're only 3 months out from 2024. I know. It's depressing.
Yeah.
On so many levels, it's depressing.
Yes, yes.
However, we can't stop at a time. What are you starting to hear from your customers for Route 2024? What are they, things that are on their mind, anxieties that they might have, or questions they might have, things that are keeping them up, et cetera?
So this feels a little strange to say because COVID, I guess it's still here with us, but you know, the COVID beast that we were so used to in 20 and 21 when it finally left, that is still playing a huge, it's almost like the shadow in the room.
Mm-hmm.
What I feel is that so much has changed. Customers are unsure of how things are going to change, what they're going to have to face.
I know.
So when I'm talking to them, I say, you know, we have a great solution right here, and that's fabulous. You need to be sure that you're open-minded enough and flexible that whatever comes our way, which COVID taught us, whatever comes our way, we have to figure out the next thing, and we will.
Right.
You can't get your feet stuck in the sand and say, this is it, I found it, no moving forward. You have to be open enough, understand your system enough, understand your organization well enough. Whatever comes your way, you're confident enough to say, we'll handle it. That's the concern.
It's an agility, a mindset around agility, which I don't think we're that agile pre-COVID. I think we're a little rigid.
Yes.
All of us.
Yes.
I think we're a bit rigid. I think we were kind of forced into this. And you know what? Good thing for us.
Right.
I mean, I hate that it came at the cost of a pandemic.
Yes.
But at the same time, it sped up so many things that we were eventually going to get to.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Remote work or flexibility in work.
It would have taken us years.
Decades.
I agree.
Decades.
I agree.
Decades.
Yeah.
Now it's like, that's a conversation. That actually, that's not really a conversation.
Right.
I mean, candidates come in and say, I want to work this way.
Yeah. We had so many conversations before COVID about, you can do it this way. You really can. It'll work. Thankfully, the world taught us it can work this way and forced us into adoption of our own.
Yep.
So now it's not even a question about can we do it. It's just how can we do it faster? How can we do it better? Which is really refreshing after waiting so long for people to adopt this bigger mindset.
Right. So tell me a little bit about the partnership that you have with Ceridian in the sense of like you've got customers. And again, Ceridian Dayforce might be a great fit or it might not be a great fit. I mean, that's a part of sussing that out for customers, actually understanding what applications of a suite like Ceridian make sense and where it doesn't make sense.
Right.
So what does that look like for y'all?
So technically, HR Architect is vendor agnostic. We have lots of experience outside of Dayforce.
Right.
I'm the director of the Ceridian team. I am Dayforce all the way. So we do want people to be happy.
Right.
Our company works very hard to make sure that they're making the right decisions. Once they land into my team, it's okay, you're here. Let's make sure that the decisions you made are, first of all, present and that you're still comfortable with them.
Right.
So, yes, we do a lot of the work around not just user adoption at go live, but afterwards.
That's not the air quotes.
I know. But after, that's a continuous thing that you're continually saying, yes, this is still the right thing for me. If it's not, give us a call. I mean, talk to us. We are so good in this space. We are so experienced that we can tell you 10 other ways to do it, or we can help you network with people who have better ideas. We just want people to love the system that they've chosen, whatever that is. For me, Dayforce.
I love it. I love it. So with Dayforce customers, and you're working with the Dayforce team as well, some of the product people, yes, some of the implementation team people as well. How do you all share some, I say best practices, that's not maybe necessarily the right thing, but just things that you're seeing, because you get to see things from a customer's perspective that maybe they need to know.
Right. Well, we value our relationship with Ceridian very much. Everything from sometimes we help staff their projects. They bring us customers who maybe can't fit into their
right
support system. If they have something that they can't move or very quickly, they bring it to us and we can. We're still small.
Right.
So we can do things that maybe takes a little bit more time or a little bit more finagling on their side. We are very open with Ceridian. If we're on the same project, because sometimes we are,
right,
we represent the customer a lot of times, a little bit behind the scenes, and say, because we value our relationship, we just want to give you this feedback. Likewise, we love learning from Dayforce representatives. The things that they do has set such a great precedence for how we can grow our company and the kind of methodology we can follow. I mean, it's proven.
Right.
We're just trying to continue down that way and maybe a personal way that customers can get in touch with and then love the system. We're all on the same goal, to get people to love Dayforce.
I love it. What do you think about the ecosystem that they've built and has been built around Dayforce? So all the, what we used to call point solutions or best of breed solutions, et cetera. There's a wonderful platform, lots of little modules, all this works, everything's integrated. Love all that. But there's also a lot of stuff that's outside of that. That's still, I was talking to the, I think it was the CEO from VidRecruiter earlier. Yeah. VidRecruiter.
Yes.
And it's like they do things that are outside the recruiting module.
Yep.
Purposely.
Yes.
So they purposely don't build anything that's on the module or on the module's roadmap, so that they can fit around it. Yeah. And I love that.
So Dayforce has come up with a solution which meets a lot of needs for companies. But let's be honest, companies are so diverse that the very needs that they have from one company to another can vary greatly. Right.
Yeah.
You can't possibly build something that answers everything. And it's a beautiful world that we're in, that people have imagination and innovation, that they see a niche and they fill it. So if you walk around this hall right now, some of the things, which I do when I have enough time, I'm like, what is it that you do? That's incredible to answer this tiny little piece. And we see it right now all the time, the apps that people develop or the podcasts that they have. You know, they speak to these tiny little things that open a full ecosystem of people who want that exact thing. It's really beautiful and inspiring to walk around and see what other things you can tack on here. It's really representative of, you know, what we're seeing in technology across the world.
I love it. And especially as you love all the Ceridian and Dayforce stuff, it's like finding out that there's other things. So when a client says, you know, we're really struggling with, you know, pick something, leadership development, you know, random. You know what? Ceridian has three different partnerships with these firms. We should probably take a look at them.
Yeah. We build partnerships with those people as well. So there's things that maybe we don't want to get into, or things that we just know that they know better than us.
Right.
We have those relationships and we want our customers, again, we want our customers to be happy. We try to do everything we can for them. But if it's outside of that, we want to be an answer. We want to help them get to the path they want to get to. And honestly, it just doesn't seem to be an end to what you can do with Dayforce and what people are trying to fit in around what's already built.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Last question is your favorite kind of tip or trick, hack, if you like, around getting people to use, love the software that they have. What's your favorite? I know you got a bunch.
I do.
You got a whole arrows and quiver, got the whole bit going on, but what's your go-to?
The phrase that I like to use is, you don't have to take our word for it, we'll prove it to you. So if you take that mindset of whatever you're doing with somebody, you want them to be convinced that this is going to make their life better, prove it to them. Step back into their shoes and see, how are they going to use this? How is this going to impact them? Because as soon as you show them that their life is better by using it this way,
right,
you don't even have to do anything else.
It's not a sale at the point.
No, not at all. So if you start from there, it's already done for you.
I love that. One of the things I've consulted with a lot of practitioners around is using technology isn't most people's job. So you have to kind of recognize that this isn't their job. Like if you're a recruiter, your job is to recruit.
Right.
Not necessarily to use software.
Yep.
So incentivizing people, maybe building leaderboards, bonusing people, doing whatever you can to kind of like get them to fall in love with, hey, yeah, we recognize that this isn't your job.
Right.
However, this will make your job better.
And if it's not, then you're probably not doing it right. Come and see us.
Good point.
Yeah, we say that all the time. You know, people who hold on to these processes, we see it a lot in payroll. They're like, but this is the way I do it.
I say, in 1920.
Right. Yeah, your company did not hire you because you're great at data entry. Why don't you let us do all of that simple stuff that the system can do?
100%.
And you go do the thing that you're great at. And that goes across all of the modules. Yep. Like, start doing the things that you really love doing that got you into that field, and let's take the rest of it back. The system should be able to do that. If it's not, come and see us, because we can get you to that place.
Drops mic, walks off stage. Catherine, I could talk to you forever. Thank you so much for coming
by.
Thank
you for having me.
Absolutely. And thanks everyone for listening. Until next time.